The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC here on ESPN Plus. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Shaq. And here's, I'll tell you, there's a lot going on today. We'll be heading to Vegas to hear from Herc and Seb ahead of the Gold Cup final. Plus, Gemma Soler joining us to discuss the possibility of Atleti defending their title in La Liga. We'll kick things off with a big story in England, which of course is Manchester City on the brink of signing Jack Grealish. £100 million. Pep hits the jackpot because Jack is his first name.
So clever.
I'm told that Nadim Anua wrote that headline as he joins us now. Nadim, with your Manchester City ways, how excited are you about this transfer?
I think it's great. He's obviously, he was very, very good last year in the Premier League, and I'm interested to see what sort of level he can get to, because obviously, you know, playing for City and having the expectation that maybe wasn't there when he was at Villa, it's a whole different task, but he's somebody who everybody who I know who's played with him says he's outstanding, so it'll be a great test. But I'm glad, should it go through, that he'll be playing for Manchester City.
Nadim, he seems to be someone, obviously there's going to be a lot of attention on him because of the price tag, very much under the microscope, who you feel would almost relish that attention.
Yeah, 100%. You know, some of these players, especially the attackers, they love it. They love the limelight. They love getting on the ball in tough situations. They love trying to make something happen. And he seems to be somebody who, you know, for Aston Villa would take the game by the scruff of the neck, it would feel like. So I think adding that to a City squad is great. And for all those players in that team, you know, there is scrutiny anyway. But as I say, it's interesting because for the way that the City team's played over the past few years, they've not really had tons of dribblers. But in someone like Grealish, who is a dribbler, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in with that system, but with the quality that he has and the ability to, you know, create something out of nothing, then ultimately I think it's very, very exciting for Man City and their fans.
What constitutes a successful dribble, Nadim?
A successful dribble?
Yes.
What I would say is that the way that City play, they tend not to have a ton of players who will just go at somebody. I think they're more sort of like a pass and move type team. But if there's somebody who can beat a man and get a cross in or something like that in one-on-one areas, then that's great. And I think looking at the way Grealish plays, that will suit that type of sort of attack for City, because, you know, barring maybe a Mahrez, most of the players are the type who just like to link up instead of just running straight at somebody.
Now, last week, we asked Don to give us a starting 11 if Jack Grealish joined. He forgot to put Jack Grealish in it. Let's see what Nadim has done, given the same.
Oh, he's
stars.
In! Grealish is in!
Grealish is in, but so's really? Jesus. Like, Gabriel Jesus didn't really start that much last year, did he, Nadim?
No, he didn't. You're right, he didn't. But I think from certain things that I saw towards the end of last season, he did seem to be doing well. And I think for City, with someone like Grealish there, I think if there is a nine to sort of play off, then I think it suits him better. So whilst City are essentially looking for a number nine to replace Sergio Aguero, I thought it'd be naive to not put in the nine who's there currently. And I think in Jesus, I think he's capable of scoring 10, 15 goals, maybe 20 this season, if he gets the opportunity. And like I say, for now, he is the main man. So ultimately, you know, I felt like I had to put him in there.
Foden on the bench, Shaq, in this system.
Yeah, and listen, Manchester City spoil for riches.
We
know that.
Silly, isn't it?
That is some bench. But you knew that whenever we're talking about Manchester City, you could look at the bench and question any number of those who are on there. The interesting thing for me is obviously you have Raheem Sterling pushed out to the right-hand side, where Riyad Mahrez would normally operate from. But then again, we're talking about Manchester City and being able to leave there previous record signing on the bench in Riyad Mahrez. Interesting, again, kind of given that Grealish and Sterling traditionally kind of play in that same left-handed slot and see how Pep makes it work. It's a jigsaw. That only puzzle, only Pep knows how he's going to fit all those pieces together.
Wouldn't they be better spending this money on a striker, Nadim?
Who's to say that striker isn't coming? And I think I picked that team, but you know, you could pick so many different other ones. Like, so Phil Foden should be starting in the Premier League, but when you look at the riches that City have and the players that they currently have there at this moment in time, you know, it's tough to you can't fit them all in. But yeah, you know, I think City will be looking for that nine position, and it wouldn't surprise me if they did get somebody by the end of the window. And listen, I'd prefer it to be a Harry Kane, but I'm sure it will be the right person for that system, and ultimately time will tell to see which way they go.
But they need a striker, no, Nathan? If they're gonna completely dominate, then they do, don't they?
No.
No?
No, Dan. They need goals. They need goals, Dan. They need goals. That's the beauty of it. And I think last year we saw that, because there were times where they weren't playing with a nine and they were getting the goals, and as a consequence they're winning games, and at times winning games comfortably. And I think a nine will almost guarantee that if they get the right type, and there might be a different type of link up. But you know, as I say, the successes they had last year with Sergio Aguero, who's arguably the best player City have ever had, being missing for most of it, you wouldn't have expected it, would you? So ultimately, it's down to the system and the people that fall within it. So don't be like that, Dan. They just need goals.
Don't be like that.
Don't be like that, Dan.
Bring out the obvious that a striker might be useful to City. But Nenas are obviously winning the title last year without an out-and-out striker consistently. And they go into this season as defending champions, as favourites as well, as expected. You take a look at the chasing pack. Chelsea and then Liverpool at 5-1. United at 8-1. Nenas, back with your Manchester City hat on. Who are you most concerned about?
I would say Manchester United, actually.
Wow, really?
I think so. I think it's weird to see them in fourth there, given the fact that they've recruited quite well so far this summer. And in someone like Solskjaer now, there's a lot of pressure on them. You know, the time has come for United to be successful again, is what you're hearing at this point. And I think the players that they're trying to bring in are trying to make a statement to say now is the time to win. And I think for Chelsea, you think Chelsea were good towards the second half of last season. I thought they were very good. But then, as I say, you look at that lineup there for United, and you know, that doesn't look like a team that's just going to scrape through and forth. So for me, as I say, I'm more concerned about that, but maybe that's my bias because I live in the city anyway. And for every time United seem to get stronger, you know, you will feel it just that little bit more because it's on your doorstep. But I think Liverpool obviously will be better, and Chelsea have got a great squad. But as I say, United finished second last year, and I'd be surprised if those two other teams finish ahead of them come the end of next season.
The concern looking at that, not only the bench, Shaka, not much depth there for United, but that midfield, there's a lot of questions around it, I think. Obviously, Paul Pogba last year of his contract, how committed is he? Yeah. Bruno Fernandes had a horrible Euros, tailed off at the end of last year as well with regards to form. That's going to be key. If indeed these are going to be proper challenges to City, you need that midfield to click and click quickly.
Absolutely. The issue is we've been saying the same thing about Paul Pogba since his arrival at Old Trafford. The Paul Pogba we see for France is totally different from the Paul Pogba we see for Manchester United. So while it's easy to remember the Pogba we saw this summer at the Euros, if he's like last season, it leaves you really wondering about United's midfield. The other issue for Manchester United is Edinson Cavani. Not about his quality, but his age. And does that catch up with him? How many games can he play? Can he give you a full campaign? That is another concern for Manchester United. But on paper, that 11 is a very good team that will challenge at the top of the table, should challenge.
Meanwhile, Nathan, we've talked a lot about Chelsea and the linking to Erling Haaland. Are we in a situation where we can make the statement, if Chelsea don't sign a striker, there's no way they'll win the league?
No, that's your statement. I don't think anyone else is going to say that. I think, obviously, they want to find somebody who's going to be able to convert chances more often than not. Because I think looking back at last year, there were times when too many chances were missed in big moments. But the fact is, we're looking at a team there which has just won the Champions League, and they won a lot of very, very big games. That's the side which beat Man City three times last season. And, you know, by all accounts, City were far and away the best side in the league last year. So there is something there. But, you know, it's just little tweaks, just find that little bit extra. And I think if they can find consistency, then maybe the need for a striker isn't necessarily going to be that great. But as I say, it's tough. It's a tough call. But I'm hearing that maybe Lukaku is going back to Chelsea and stuff like that. And I think if he does, then, yeah, I think that team just becomes that little bit more special. But we shall see.
It's funny, isn't it? If you turn the clock back to the start of last season, we'll be in this situation, and we haven't mentioned Liverpool yet, Nathan. You know, when you're talking about real title contenders, are we forgetting how good they were?
I don't think we are forgetting that. I think obviously with players missing throughout the year, they weren't at their absolute best. But to see someone like Van Dijk coming back in, that's not just a big boost for just the people around him. That's a big boost for the entire team. And they've got a very familiar setup around him from that point. So for them, they know that they underperformed last season, so they'll be highly motivated. But the difference is, at this point now, I think where Chelsea are and where Manchester United are is different to where, say, they were when Liverpool were last in a title race. So the pressure is going to be a whole lot more different. And I think, as well, for me, it says people can beat City, United beat City, Chelsea beat City. But the key to winning the league is consistency, and I think that's what overall, and that's what City found. So those teams there, you know, if they can find a level of consistency, whether it's in performance or just the starting lineups and so on, then great, that's what will take them over the line. And with that Liverpool team, you know, if they can keep people healthy, they'll be part of the conversation. But I just don't think they're as favoured as, say, they were 2 years ago.
Who would you say the biggest challenge is to City?
I think Chelsea, in all honesty. And listen,
But Nadim says they can't win the league if they don't sign a striker.
I think they will. I think Chelsea, this reported bit of, what, 160 million or whatever it is for Haaland that Dortmund seem determined to resist. If they don't get Haaland, I think they go out and get somebody else. Because I don't think Chelsea even see themselves as being in pole position in a year's time when Haaland's transfer fee drops to 75 million. So if you recognize that and you aren't and you don't think you're going to get him in a year's time and you aren't going to get him this summer, then spend the money on somebody who will deliver those goals. Who that is, Thomas Tuchel can answer. I also think Thomas Tuchel has shown himself to be an incredible man manager. And though I don't think Werner is good enough to lead them to a title, I think Werner will be better than he was last year.
Right.
Still not good enough to eclipse the likes of Manchester City, but the big question is he good enough to knock United off their perch? And Liverpool, is it enough to resist any thrust that Liverpool may have this team?
Away from title talk, let's focus on Arsenal, shall we? Of course, spending a lot of money on Ben White, £50 million, to get the defender from Brighton. Is he any good, Nadim?
Yeah, absolutely. He's very, very good. He's very, very good. You know, you look at last season and he's player of the year for Brighton in the Premier League, and, you know, some people might downplay him and think he's not very good because you've not really heard of him, but I think any player who gets player of the year in the Premier League in any particular season is a very good player. He's a guy who was breaking on the scene for England. He's very versatile, he's great on the ball, defensively very strong. And if you look at sort of the data around the way that he plays, in terms of his duels, he's playing out from the back, he's as good as anybody. But just because he doesn't have such a big name, people don't really think about him in that sort of context. But the only issue really here is the fact that he's going to an Arsenal side where it seems like patience is at its very, like, it's as low as it's ever been, but the expectation still feels very, very high. So for some fans seeing him coming in, I don't think it's necessarily the boost that they need, but I think in the long term, this could be a great signing for Arsenal because he's young, he's hungry, he's versatile, and I think he could be one of the first signs in terms of the start of what the new Arsenal could be, because I think for probably too long now, we've been lacking characters like him, and people can do what he does, and yeah, I like him. I think he's a good player. And I think he'll do well for them.
More from Nadim a little later on with Shaka there on Extra Time, which always you can check out over on our YouTube channel. Stevie was feisty yesterday.
He
anti-English. I didn't enjoy that.
It's that new haircut.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Reports suggesting Aston Villa already starting to spend some of that Jack Grealish money. Leon Bailey making the move, according to reports from Germany to Villa. For more on this, let's head to Vegas, shall we? Seven Herc.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, of course, we are in
Las Vegas for the Gold Cup final Sunday between the U.S. and Mexico. But the news, Herc, of Leon Bailey going to Aston Villa just coming across the wire. Very interesting for us here on Football Americas. We had him on the show like 10 days ago. He said he was 100% ready for the next move in his career. He must have known it was coming.
He obviously knew it was coming. He said it with a chuckle, you know, a little smile on his face. He's ready for it. He said he's absolutely looking forward to it. And I think he could be ready for it. Oftentimes when you come from a league that's a little bit more technical in terms, you know, whether it be La Liga or it's a
you don't have any worries about him in the Premier League,
do you? I don't.
No,
look at his pace. Look at his technical ability. The rhythm and velocity of which he carries the ball, I think he'll fit in nicely. What role remains to be seen, but he's a fantastic player. You could put anywhere across the front three, even as a nine if you wanted to in a pinch. Both sides, I think it'd be a fantastic addition.
Yeah. Jack Grealish, of course, the player that is probably on his way out of Aston Villa. There's some big shoes to fill. It's not just going to be up to Leon Bailey, but he's like 23 years old. I think we forget because he's been in Europe for so long. Just how consolidated a player this is comparing where he is in his career. I mean, he's got a long way to go.
He does have a long way to go, but let's give him a little bit of credit and respect. I mean, the man puts up double-digit goals in the Bundesliga for a team like Leverkusen that plays in Europe. So he's obviously a good player, and he's a young talent. It's now, can he exploit that? Because oftentimes, like we saw in this last Gold Cup, he gets lost in that.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, let's talk about the Gold Cup. Obviously, on tomorrow's show, we'll be looking in to the final, kind of diving into the details between U.S. and Mexico. Let's look back kind of at the tournament, though, as a whole, at least from where we stand right now. What's your top headline coming out of the event so far?
Top headline? It's got to be in your face. You know?
Why?
Let me tell you why. Do you remember after...
Who is saying in your face?
Greg Berhalter saying in your face to the fourth official after Giassi Sardis scores against Qatar. It's the same thing, but for all of us. For all the pundits, for all the fan base. It's Greg Berhalter
you
says...
You include yourself in this?
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm one of the biggest...
critics
of what's been going on. But it's in your face to all these people. I include myself. Because here's your... Nations League, your CONCACAF Nations League title against Mexico. Here it is. I'm going to call in my C team, okay? I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to make it so it's difficult. These players are tested, and I'm going to identify players for a World Cup cycle that I want to see, not that you want to see. And guess what? Along the way, I beat the best teams in it. I beat the Jamaicas. I beat the Canadas. I beat Qatar. And we're in a final with these kids against the top dog in CONCACAF.
A couple headlines that to me stand out from like a Mexico perspective are ones that could impact them both short term and long term. One is the chant, the anti-gay chant that we keep hearing in this tournament.
Yeah.
I would not be at all surprised if we hear it here in Las Vegas for the final between the U.S. and Mexico. And I think, and I said this on Football Americas the other day, we're getting closer and closer to a point where Mexico is going to be playing a majority, if not all, of its World Cup qualifiers at home behind closed doors. So that's an impact for the future. The other big headline is the Chucky Lozano injury.
Right.
I think, you know, that could also go into World Cup qualifying for Mexico. And those two things really almost could change the dynamic of power in CONCACAF if you couple them with the idea of what if the U.S. wins on Sunday? Now you got to shift.
Of course you got to shift. And listen, we had this discussion with Raul Jimenez when he was injured. Raul is now on the mend. He's coming back. He just scored a goal in preseason, his second goal, actually. And all of a sudden, Chucky Lozano's out. So it just seems like it's one after the other. So that power, that, I guess, position in CONCACAF could definitely shift.
Okay, so individual performances in a Gold Cup, obviously critically important. Let's start on the positive side of it, right? Who's the player that for you has impressed the most, has used this tournament the best?
Matt Turner. And it comes out of nowhere. And Matt Turner, because I didn't think they'd be tested this way. You look at who they faced. I mean, they faced Haiti, Martinique. They faced, you know, Canada, Jamaica, Qatar. All these teams double-digit shots against. And Matt Turner had a lot of work to do. But they won every single game, with the exception of Martinique, where they scored, I think, 6 or 7. They won every single game, 1-0. Very difficult to do. They're not in this position if not for Matt Turner. Certainly not against Qatar. I mean, he was, you know, on his head type performance against Qatar.
I thought you might give a shout to Giassi Sardis, some big goals. If we're talking about in your face, just as much as Greg Berhalter saying in your face to some people, Giassi Sardis probably saying the same
thing.
True. The opposite side of the thing is who hasn't taken advantage of this tournament? Is there a player on any of the teams that you feel like hasn't made the most of the Gold Cup?
Yeah, Tecatito Corona. I mean, you look at a player who's one of the best players in CONCACAF, one of the most experienced players. He was the MVP of the Portuguese League when he played there last season or 2 seasons ago. A player that many are crying and dying to move out to bigger and better.
Why do you think he's struggling so much?
I think he's tired. I see a disinterested, a tired, a physically and mentally worn out player on the field. He's not the same Tecatito Corona who gets the ball and 1v1 is going to skin anybody in this confederation. He looks disinterested. He looks like he's not into it. And he's had a tournament that's been very underwhelming.
If I had to go underwhelming tournament for the U.S., I'd have to go Daryl Dike. That number nine position is up for grabs. And no player, at least on this roster, has been given more of an opportunity to take the job. And he's really fumbled it away. We have to say it that way.
Fumbled it away. You're talking about first a $20 million price tag. And it's like, how low can you go now? Every performance, it's going down more and more. And I understand a lot of that could be injury, but a lot of that could also be confidence. He doesn't look like he's sure of himself.
All right, let's change gears a little bit here. Of course, a gold cup will wrap up on Sunday. Olympics still going on over in Japan. The Mexican team beating South Korea 6-3 this morning in the quarterfinals. They're through to the semifinals.
Look at that smile.
I am smiling. Friday on Football Americas, you still weren't convinced that they were legit medal threats.
No, because of the performance.
Say you were wrong. It's okay.
One game to go, and it's against Brazil.
I mean, they're one of four teams left, and three are going to get a medal. They're a legit medal threat.
Well, okay, but we'll see. It's still Brazil that they have to face. Yep. I tell you this, though. If you ask any legit Mexico fan or pundit out of any power, world power in football, who they would rather face.
You said this at the World Cup, too, and it didn't work out,
so don't
say it.
It's fine. Would you rather face?
There's a history of success against Brazil relative to other world powers. I get what you're saying.
Okay, so that can happen. Okay, they've had a lot of success versus Brazil. Mm-hmm. I like their chances because of the changes they made and because of what I saw against South Korea. They look so dynamic, so fast. 1v1 on the wings, the way they combine. Not so much balance, still a little wooden in the center of the field. Honestly, defensively, I still think they're a liability. They scored 6 on South Korea, but at any moment, I thought South Korea was capable of scoring some goals on the Mexican national team. That worries me for them. But the amount of pace and how dynamic they are going forward, they're going to give any team fits in this tournament.
We have been running into a ton of Mexico fans here in Las Vegas in the build-up to the Gold Cup final. Which do you think they would prefer, the Gold Cup or the gold medal?
I think the U.S. Men's National Team C team made that decision for everybody. You know?
Why? Because the Gold Cup doesn't matter anymore?
It doesn't matter anymore. No. It doesn't matter anymore. What do you win?
So they'd rather. What so you're saying win? A Mexico fan would
are you
rather
gonna
have go, the gold
are you
medal?
Are you going to win this and go play in a Confederations Cup?
Well, this is your senior team. This is not, you know.
Well, I think the majority would take the Olympics. Because,
really?
Yes. It's the
do you think the manager would take the Olympics? Because that's really the interesting dynamic. Tata Martino needs to win now.
And I want
now.
You to answer this because I told you I feel he thinks his job is on the line if he doesn't win this tournament. So you're telling me he wants the Olympics?
No, I'm telling you he wants the Gold Cup.
Why?
To feel better about his job, not that he's going to lose it. We'll leave it there. You can hear the endless debate continue on Monday's edition of Football Americas. Herc will be here in Las Vegas. I'll be back in D.C., but we will be covering the Gold Cup final as well as the U.S. women in the Olympic semifinals. Dan, we'll send it back to you.
Thanks, Seb.
I was in Vegas.
Anyway, we'll be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow leading up to the Gold Cup final. Be sure to join us here on ESPN+. Remember that Super League thing, remember?
A little bit, yeah.
Remember that shank? Well, it seems that Barcelona, Real Madrid and Juventus haven't forgotten it. They released this statement saying, "We are pleased that going forward we will no longer be subject to ongoing UEFA threats. Our aim is to keep developing the Super League project in a constructive and cooperative manner." Gemma Soler is with us from Spain. What's wrong with these people, Gemma? Why do they keep them banging on about the Super League? Nobody wants it.
Hola, Dan. Yeah. It's quite a strange, but I think we need to understand. It was a defeat so shameful. They need to celebrate the little wins, even if it's something like this in a court, it doesn't take that much importance. But of course, for these teams, for the shame they had to suffer, they need to try to justify what they did. And also, they maintain that there is a monopoly in football and they want only to improve it and try to communicate a little bit that mess that they did some months ago. So, of course, they wanted that joint statement saying that they were right in some of the action. They actually, in that statement, they recognize that they've done quite a lot of things wrong. So it's a little victory in a crazy defeat. So they have to publish it like that.
That surely now they've got to turn the page on it all. Or is Florentino Perez still going around thinking, no, this is good because UEFA are the bad boys in all of this?
Well, with Florentino Perez, you'll never know. I think they will keep on working on that idea, especially because this was an act of desperation, especially for Real Madrid and Barcelona, that they were without money and they wanted to do something and quite desperately, and it was such a disaster. I think they will keep on working on something like that, but of course with more caution, because everything done in that idea is just a question of more money. They need money. They want more money from UEFA. And that's the beginning of everything.
Meanwhile, Gemma, I saw you all dressed up yesterday, all posh at La Liga Gala. it was great to see. And you look at it, and I imagine was the big talk there, Lionel Messi, and whether or not he will sign that new contract.
Of course, Messi was in the everyone questions, everyone conversations, and everyone seemed so quiet in that matter, in that very calm, especially president of La Liga, Javier Tebas. There was no representation of Barcelona. It was Gerard Piqué, but from Germany. They didn't give us any kind of information, but I have to say I saw Leo Messi today on his social media. He's in Ibiza finishing his holidays. Actually, he's supposed to go back to work the day after tomorrow here in Barcelona, and he doesn't look very stressed at all. I saw him in a boat, and Dan, he's quite relaxed. Who is not that relaxed is the man who's working on the finances balance of Barcelona. They really, really are trying to struggle to be on time, to try to make that balance, try to sell some players. We have there in that selling position in that supermarket, Clement Lenglet, Umtiti, Griezmann, probably Lash Moriba will go as well, to try to make, to fix the books and to be able to eventually make official that continuity of Leo Messi.
You mentioned Antoine Griezmann there, and it's someone that we've discussed a lot with you on the show, Gemma. How do you think this is going to end? Do you think he's going to start the season with Barcelona? Do you think he'll be a Barcelona player for this season?
He's in Germany. He was playing earlier today against Stuttgart. He did the pass. He assisted for a goal. So he's a player of FC Barcelona. And what they say is that they are not going to sell it for if it's not a big, big offer. Yesterday, Enrique Cerezo said he didn't discard signing him back, but apparently Atletico de Madrid want to have him back at a very, very low price, or only changing it for Saúl. So this is not an offer that in Barcelona are interested. So if there is not a big offer, Ronald Koeman wants Antoine Griezmann to help the team this season.
Meanwhile, Barcelona have some very tired players, in particular Pedri, who, of course, has been involved with their Olympic campaign. Spain beating the Ivory Coast, of course, in the Olympics today. You took a look at how the bracket has set up for the men, and Spain are favourites, you would suggest, to go through. They're taking on host Japan. Meanwhile, it's Mexico against Brazil for a place in the final. I'm just wondering if anyone is picking up on the fact that players like Pedri are going to be absolutely exhausted for the season for Barcelona, because, of course, it's not only been the Olympics, it's been the Euros as well.
Yeah, well, we have to trust the medical services of Spain. We know we have all this kind of high tech now, these bells that measure everything, but we don't have that information. But watching this season of Pedri, he played everything with Barcelona. He's playing everything, every minute, and also he fights every single ball. I was watching the game today, and he doesn't want to miss any, and he's doing it to every ball, to every minute on the game. So he's going to be, of course, exhausted. It's true that he's 18, but he will have to have some holidays. There are other players in maybe who will not having holidays. It's the case of Eric Garcia, Barcelona's Eric Garcia, new signing, because probably they will need a defendant. And so I'm sure, and he's just arriving new, but I'm sure Barcelona needs to give some holidays to that kid, because of course he's 18, but he's like, it's the most tough season of a player for sure.
Why are we seeing such commitment from Spain for the soccer Olympic gold?
Well, it's a dream. They won it when the Olympics were in Barcelona in 1992. There is this promising new generation. They also see how the national team, the absolute national team, they are also playing a lot of youngsters. And also, if you look at that team, it's quite similar to the one in the Eurocopa. They have a good base, they have a good block, they have a good coach, and that's the key of the success. And I will say they have great players. I don't think we have seen an amazing performance of Spain so far in the Olympics. They played quite well for moments, not a full game. And of course, they are youngsters, they are ambitious, they know they can, if they do it well, they will be in the national team. And of course, that's the goal, and to repeat, to win another medal like they managed to do in 1992 in Barcelona.
They take on Japan in the semi-finals. The Gav and Jules podcast returns after his holiday. Not Gav, though, lazy. Jules will be joined by Stuart Robson. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. As we're continuing to count down to the start of La Liga, we're bringing you a team a day. And today our focus is on the defending champions, Atletico Madrid. Gemma is back with us. The incredible revolution of Atletico Madrid under Diego Simeone is quite extraordinary. And if you would have told Atleti fans what he would come in and achieve when he took over, no one would believe you.
No, hello again, Dan. Of course, because it was quite some depressing era for Atletico de Madrid before Cholo Simeone joined as a coach. They were tired of watching bitter rivals Real Madrid win Las Ligas, Copas, the Champions, or Barcelona, and they couldn't clinch any titles. So 10 years ago, Simeone, he was very loved as a player as well for his bravery in the stadium. So there was like quite a lot of patience, a lot of trust in the presidency, and he could make it very, very well. 8 titles so far. 2 finals of the Champions League, 2 Europa Leagues, and 2 La Liga, which is something quite extraordinary for a decade that complete domination of Barcelona and Real Madrid.
And Simeone seems to have brought this mentality in, Gemma, of kind of nobody likes us, but we don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. We are proud. We are the team of the people. He always says that, like, we are the poor team. He could say it in 2011. He cannot say it now because they are millionaires and they have rich investors as well. But yeah, he brought his character to the team and to the players. He wants that kind of player, like Luis Suarez, the bravery, fighting until the very last second. And also his the key success is, of course, Diego Pablo Simeone, because you see, they win the La Liga in 2013 and they clinched it last year. Mm-hmm. The team is completely different. There were only 2 players playing in 2013. So what's the key of the success? Of course, Argentinian Diego Pablo Simeone.
Of all the teams, not just in Spain, Shaq, but you suggest in top European football, Atleti's one that you would want to avoid, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, because you know what you're going to get out of Atletico Madrid. They have an identity. So whether you love them or you loathe them, you know exactly what you're going to get out of a Diego Simeone's team. And to Gemma's point, even when the team seems to go through a full transition, there's one consistency about who they are and what they're going to bring. And credit to them. In a league where, despite relative success in European competition, in winning the league, there's still this huge disparity in finances between what they bring in and the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid bring in. Yet they are able to continue to compete. Seasons when they don't win the league, they're still there, putting noses out to join and giving the big boys an absolute run for their money. And when they get it right, or when Real and Barca don't get their whatever they are doing absolutely spot on, you have a season like you did last time, where Atletico Madrid win by doing the same things that has brought them the success under Diego Simeone.
Jim, from a fan's perspective, if you compare them to their City rivals, Real Madrid, the royal team, of course, all in white, all the riches. Mm. And for Atleti, is it fair to say they're kind of the more of the poor man's side, and the fans embrace that?
Yeah, they embrace that. And Simeone always loves to remember that. And fans as well, they like to say that they are the team of the popular people. I would say there is another team in Madrid who is better for that role, that is Rayo Vallecano. Mm. But of course, if you compare to Real Madrid, all the richness, everything they have, of course, they are more humble. And apart from the key success of Diego Simeone, I think they are really good at signing players with not so bright maybe a perspective, maybe not that shining, maybe not that expensive, and Diego Simeone really knows how to make them work, and that was the success. For example, last year they got for free Luis Suarez. He struck more than 20 goals and they clinched the La Liga.
Yeah, that's going to be an issue, though, isn't it? Luis Suarez, obviously, 1 year older, 21 goals last season. If they're going to defend this title, they need him to replicate that form.
Yes, it's always a question, Luis Suarez, but we know he will fight until the last consequences for sure. But of course, 1 year later in Europe, he was not that shining, so they struggled there. They're trying to sign another striker. They have Giuliano Simeones, the coach kid. He might be on a loan in case they get another striker. They would like to sign Rafa Mir from the Wolves. Because especially for that, because with Luis Suarez, you never know if he will have a good season, bad season, or if he can have an injury.
And of course, the best thing, Gemma, about following Atletico Madrid is that you go to Madrid, without a doubt, the best city in Spain. You agree?
Yeah. One of the best, definitely.
The best, I'd say. Definitely the best, yes.
Yeah, if they have the beach, it would be the best city, definitely. I promise you that. And I'm gonna. You are going to invite me because I had lunch in Madrid today. So I had tapas.
Oh,
I went to El Doble, one of the amazing tapas restaurants that you have in Madrid. So I would recommend any. Actually, what they can do, they can go for a walk with the president of Atlético de Madrid, Enrique Cerezo. He's a former movie producer, so he's quite a character. He's quite interesting. So he can walk you. I would recommend the neighborhood of La Latina.
Yeah.
The previous stadium, Vicente Calderón, was quite near there, so just walk there on a Sunday. You can go to El Rastro, that outside market, which is very popular, and just have a walk and some tapas and maybe some cañas.
La Latina's nice, Shaq.
I'll have to take your word for
it's
that.
It's definitely the place to be on a Sunday. Before we let you go, Gemma, let's talk about the fact that Atleti are defending champions. They're not, though, favourites to win the title. What's the success of them this season, given that they've set the bar so high?
Well, it's difficult for a team like Atletico de Madrid to compete with those giants, Barcelona and Real Madrid, and to win again La Liga. Of course, they haven't been able to win this competition 2 years in a row since 1951, so it's a lot of time. But I think if you take into account that we are in a very complicated era, I think of the three giant teams in Spain, Atletico is the one who has less problems, because we know how is Barcelona financially. We know Real Madrid, how he is struggling with problems as well. New coach, no signings, Gareth Bale. So I think they will have the chances. Actually, yesterday they were in the Gala de Campeones in La Liga, and Cerezo and also Captain Coque Resurrección, they were quite confident that they can do a good season. They will for sure compete La Liga, and I'm sure they will have their chances.
So it is Atleti against Celta Vigo. That's our game on Sunday. Sunday's a great day, actually, of La Liga action in that opening week. Celta against Atleti, then it's Barca against Real Sociedad, and Sevilla play host to Rayo Vallecano. Just a reminder, throughout the whole season, all of these games are live on ESPN+.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned though. Extra Time is next. Nadim and Shaka with me to answer your tweets. Be sure to check out. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Shaka with me in the studio. Nadim Manua is back with us as well. Nadim, where are you?
I am in West London.
What are you doing there?
Just seeing a few sights, taking the family out, and also playing in a charity football game tomorrow against West Ham Legends for Dom's Food Mission.
Oh, that's very cool. Doing. Very nice, mate. What's that, what's that on the wall to the left of you? The dots. Yeah.
This is design.
Is it?
Just design. Just, yeah, it's design, yeah. I couldn't get like a really nice hotel, so
this is what happens.
This is what you get.
They're just more holes in the wall.
Is it a picture of yourself behind you? Just carry that everywhere.
no, not quite, Dan, but thanks for trying.
Oh, that's, why aren't you playing in the West Ham?
I have no idea. I think my invitation got lost in the post, Dan.
I must have done. Yeah. So is it QPR Legends against West Ham Legends?
No, it's a band of misfits. It's Harvey, the rapper. He picked a team, and I'm taking part because he got killed last year. So we had to bring in some defensive reinforcements, and he decided to pick me. So yeah, good luck with that.
Oh, very nice, mate.
Yeah.
And you're spending your Saturday night in London talking to us.
Yeah, listen, one's work, one's pleasure. You decide which one's which.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Shaka, do you think West Ham can make another push to a Europa League spot? And how do they think you will fare in Europe?
I'd be surprised if they get that high up. I'll be honest, as hopeful as I am. I'm not holding my breath. And then I don't know. Depends on how seriously they take it. You're going to go on and win the Europa League, Dan.
Okay, good. Well, that was a big jump.
I've just decided we're going to win it.
Do you think Nadim could score past you these days? If you're in the West Ham Legends goal?
Listen,
anything more than four yards, he'd struggle.
Yeah, anything
for the 4 yards out, he'd struggle.
He can't kick it that far.
No. Listen. The only yardage where I can't score is 12 yards. Everything else is possible.
Wow.
12 yards out, I've got no chance.
Not from the penalty spot, but everywhere else.
Yes, guaranteed.
Will you play all 90? Is it 90 minutes, Nadim?
I'm not going to play 90 minutes.
I think I'll probably... 90 minutes? I saw him walking around West Ham.
Listen, you think I can't play 90 minutes. I'm playing with people who are in their 50s. So if I don't play 90 minutes as a 34-year-old, what is the game going to look like? Wow. Just think about that.
I thought you were older than 34. Should Manchester United loan out Van de Beek just to improve that man's confidence levels? What do you think, Nathan?
Absolutely not, no. I was hearing that the change in formation is probably suited to have Van der Beek playing one of the eights, because previously with the two sixes, it meant that, you know, you're always going to go with Fernandes. But apparently they're going to try and get him more game time, so I'll see how that goes. But ultimately, you invested in him, so try and give him time. He's a young enough player to be able to get better. So give him the opportunity and then see if you can, if he's the right player for you.
Shaka, have you ever been linked with a transfer to a team that you didn't want to join?
Not that I recall, no.
No? Mm. You're happy to go to Portsmouth?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Why wouldn't I?
Well, that's Portsmouth, isn't it?
It's Harry.
Oh, it's Harry. Yeah, that's true. Nader?
Oh, gosh. Yes, I have, actually. There was one time when I think I got linked with a team in the Ukraine. And I was like, probably not.
Maybe not.
And then the other time, actually, ironically, was I got linked with QPR in the summer transfer window, and I didn't fancy it, but I ended up joining in the January transfer window anyway. So this is football, eh?
Hey, exactly. Now you're QPR
happens,
legend.
Happens. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
No, that's true. With preseason getting into high gear, what are the favourite stories from preseason training, Nadim?
Oh, God.
Favourite stories? The ones whereby you'll have a manager, I think it was Harry Redknapp, who'd be saying to people, you guys aren't allowed to go out and drink. But the moment you say that to a bunch of adults, what do you think happens? And there was one particular time. Like, to be fair, this wasn't pre-season, but this was on a training camp thing. And there was a guy who was playing, and he was so drunk that I'm pretty sure he could see three or four balls coming at him. And it was the worst training session by any individual I've ever seen in my life. Wow. And Harry Redknapp was on the sideline just kicking the ground, thinking, oh, these guys are clowns. But that's the thing, you make rules for grown men, and unfortunately, sometimes they break them.
When I was at West Ham, Harry used to take us to Exeter. Nigel right. Mansell had a big estate down there.
Right, the F1
I
driver.
I kid you not. If you tried your best to find somewhere to drink, there's nothing anywhere close.
Really?
So every year, it's the same thing we do. Because there's nothing remotely close.
How hard did people try?
We had some tryers. Don't get me wrong. We had some tryers. But seriously, you're in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Really?
It just... He knew what he was doing.
Shaka, was there ever a moment when someone scored a goal past you and you thought, wow, that was amazing?
Matt Letizia used to do me that every single time I came up against
really?
Him. Really? Oh, God. Well, I've said this before. I hated playing against him because I couldn't figure him out. But I thought Letizia was unbelievable.
Nathan, were you on the pitch for a goal that you thought, ooh, that was a bit good? Not your goal at Chelsea.
Well, funny you mentioned that one, but yeah, I completely forgot about it, Dan. Thanks for reminding me. There were some where people would just strike it from like miles out, or even still, actually, there was a point when I was playing, when Arsenal were like primetime Arsenal, and I was at Sunderland, this was 10 years ago, and they did some bit of play and they were just running through on goal, and I think they scored, and I was just looking around and thinking to myself, like, I don't think I did anything wrong, and someone's running through on goal. It was one of the nicest bits of play I've seen in my career, and I thought, tell you what, they're just a special team. So yeah, I'd say that Arsenal team when they were very good.
We played against that Arsenal team as well. I remember playing against them. I think it was in the FA Cup actually. Well, it's at Pompey. I was with Pompey. We were in the Premier League, but I think the game was an FA Cup game, and they beat us 5-0, and got a standing ovation. We were at home.
Wow.
They got a standing ovation from the Pompey. They just bowled us off the park. It was ridiculous. It really was. And like Nadim says, they just cutting through you and you're looking around and think, there's nothing anybody could have done differently. Just take it.
For Nadim, what is your favourite MLS stadium? Look, atmosphere, whatever the reason may be. Salt Lake doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count? I enjoyed Salt Lake. I think I'm going to have to say, for hostility, LAFC was quite good. And then I actually overall, I think one of my first games was playing against Kansas. And that was actually quite good. I know they're rivals and stuff like that, but you could see there was a bit of hate in the stadium because usually it was all very soft or whatever, but there's a bit of hate there. Except for one thing where, like, I was on the bench for that game and we're warming up and guy came running down and I thought, here we go, he's going to say something crazy. And it's like, ha, you're not going to come on? I was like, okay. All right. And the next thing, I came on as well, so I made sure to go and see him after the game and say thanks for the heads up.
Shaka, what do you prefer? Oh, I don't know how to pronounce this. Roti or?
Roti. Roti or pilau.
What are those?
Okay, so roti is how we serve our curry in Trinidad and Tobago. So it's curry wrapped in a bread that's made out of chickpeas, basically.
Nice.
It is good.
Yeah.
It is good. And pilau is another staple of ours. Rice, chicken, peas mixed into one. Cooked with some coconut milk and
he's off.
But if I had to choose one to live on for the rest of my life,
yes,
it would be roti.
Yeah, sounds good, Shaq.
It is good, Dan.
Hey, Nainam,
there's no roti places in Connecticut.
Is there not?
I can't think of any in Connecticut.
No. So, Nainam, remember last week when he was banging on about the ice cream?
Yes.
My day off, he brings it in for Kay. Oh, here's some ice cream. Well, nice.
One moment here. So bring in a big tub. We have some on the thing.
Right.
I leave the rest in the freezer up near our desks.
Right.
I send our producers a text and say there's ice cream in the freezer.
Yes.
Kay comes in the next day and eats the entire tub.
Who comes in the next day?
Kay Murray.
Wow.
Listen to this. She couldn't find a spoon, so she ate it with a coffee stirrer. The little sticks.
She ate
a tub of ice cream with a coffee stirrer.
Oh, God. That ice cream must have been good.
It's good, though. It's good.
Wow.
It's good.
Maybe you could bring in some
What flavor was this?
Goat cheese and red cherry. Nidham?
No, I'm out. I've left the chat. Thank
we
you.
Talked
I'm
about out. This last week, Nidham, remember?
It's
Nidham? Yeah.
It is good. It is, I'm telling you.
All right, go and get a deal with these people. Nainam, who would you rather spend a day at Disney with? Dan or Mancini?
God.
Me and Yorn, it's a small world.
So what did I do to deserve this? That's the question. What happened in my life?
It'd be a wonderful day.
These to be my two options. Listen, Dan, it would obviously have to be you. It would obviously have to be you.
But we are. We're scraping the barrel.
I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, as I say, the hate's different, you know what I mean? Like, you don't hate me, you just like to wind me up. So I'd have to choose you, I think.
Oh, let's keep it like that.
I think.
With it being International Best Friends Day, who was Nadim's and Shaka's best friends when they were playing? Were your relationships different when you were on the pitch? Obviously, players. Who was your best friend?
Best friend? It varied from club to club.
Who was your BFF?
My BFF? It varied from club to club.
Really? You would just ditch them? Once you moved, you'd get a new best friend?
Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, Dwight could have been your best friend and you know you weren't on the same team.
Does that count?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah, well then...
Who was your best footballing friend?
My best footballing friend... it would be either Dwight or Tony Rogier.
Oh, okay.
Who I grew up playing with.
And what was it like when you played against them?
That's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. We'd always have a friendly bet. Whoever loses has to buy dinner that night.
So you bought a lot of dinners.
I did. And as you can imagine, buying dinner and drinks for Dwight is not a cheap exercise.
Where is Dwight now? When did I last see Dwight? He was at a Manchester United thing in New York with
Yes,
Andrew
Dwight Cole. Is an ambassador for Manchester United and spends his time between Dubai and Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh. Who has the better life, you or him?
I'm fairly confident in saying it's Dwight.
No, that's right. Nainam, your best footballing friend? Do you have any friends?
I've got one or two, but one of them is a guy called Fraser Campbell.
Yep.
And he plays as a striker. So when we play against each other, he's annoying because he's like the football equivalent of you in terms of just being a massive wind-up. So even though we're really close, he's desperate to get me booked. And there was one time when like the referee came over and was sending me off, and he's just standing next to me laughing at me. I thought, this is my best friend. Like, what is life? So yeah, I'd probably say him. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's it. I think we're done.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Have some ice cream.
Kay will be at your window. Hello. Enjoy your game tomorrow, Nadim. Don't injure yourself. We will be back tomorrow. No highlights, though.
He's only playing about 20 minutes.
Yeah, he won't. 20 minutes, generous. Yeah. 10 minutes. Get the old switcheroo. That's it. We will be back tomorrow. Not Shaka, though. Day off again.